And welcome back. Hour number two on another Friday. We made it. Made it through another week. We will see what happens. And let's hope the weekend goes a little more slowly than the week. Wow. Amazing. Are you there, partner?
I'm here, Jeff. Good
got
evening.
Got your feet up? Got the root beer float ready?
Not quite.
All right. Well, we need to take better care of you. Here's a story. Now, we've spent a lot of time, not extraordinary amounts of time, but a lot of time talking about this issue of long COVID. What is long COVID? I remain somewhat, I don't want to use the word confused, but uncertain about what that actually means. It suggests it means only people who have had the virus and who can't completely kick the virus or its spike protein are still having health issues. They're not fully recovered, shall we say. Now, I think that a lot of these people are being misdiagnosed or they're misunderstanding. They're shot up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shots, and they may well be simply suffering from vax injury after a COVID viral infection. That's a possibility. I think it's a kind of a murky area. But the story is the Biden administration has created the Office of Long COVID. Now, here's a very, very short partial video on this, just basically an announcement, and then we'll talk about it.
Biden administration is taking steps to address an ongoing problem from the COVID-19 pandemic. Our Dr. Frank McGeorge here with a closer look at exactly what they are doing, and it's so sad, but there's so many ramifications after COVID-19.
There sure are, Karen and Devin. In fact, it really remains one of the biggest mysteries surrounding COVID-19, why some people recover easily and others suffer lingering symptoms weeks or even months after they were first infected. It's estimated up to 23 million people in the U.S. are dealing with long COVID. So the White House announced it is establishing a new office within the Department of Health and Human Services to lead the federal government's response moving forward. The agency will also launch clinical trials to help find better ways to treat long COVID.
Okay, that's the announcement. And they're going to do a bureaucratic thing, a lot of information. It'll be an HHS project, and that project hopefully will turn up something. But clinical trials, okay, well, whatever that means. We know what clinical trials are worth anymore. So what about long COVID? How would you best sum it up? What is it?
Well, it's people that have acquired the infection but seem to be having trouble recovering from the infection. And much has been written about that by now because there seems to be multiple reasons for why people continue to feel just wiped out. They continue to have symptoms. And it may be the persistence of the virus at low levels. There may be reservoirs of the virus that are still active. It may be viral debris that's still circulating and provoking the immune system. There may be actual damage to some of the organs that need to be repaired.
I think that's a good one. But let me suggest another thing. I think a lot of these people, and one of the most common complaints is fatigue. I'm tired. I don't have the energy I did. And I think all you have to do is really look at the blood. If it's gelled, sludge, dark, purple, black, it's not carrying oxygen. You've got no oxygen is the gas in your tank. So these people are being deprived of fuel. And that's probably, I think, one of the main players in the complaints of long COVID sufferers vis-a-vis lack of energy.
I would agree. It's many of these people are microclotting, and but that's something that's also been consistent with other viral illnesses in the past. These chronic fatigue or myeloencephalitis patients are known to have blood similar to that. I don't know if it's quite as bad as what's seen in COVID. But then there's reawakening of latent viruses, particularly in the herpes family viruses, like Epstein-Barr, or HHV6 is another one, human herpes virus 6. These can reawaken and cause fatigue. And then there's autoimmune conditions that begin to appear as a result of this infection, and that can be draining. So there's something like 7 different contributory factors to having long COVID.
How about
don't forget, even mild cases of COVID can shrink the brain. I mean, it's evident on an MRI after having had the infection that there are brain changes.
They're physically observable changes.
Yes.
That's something that's not talked about either. Now, the other aspect of long COVID, these people, a lot of them are shot up.
Yeah, well, at this point, yes. And many people who didn't have COVID that ended up getting the injection acquired COVID shortly thereafter. So now they have, you know, whatever damage the vaccine did, and now the viral infection. And a lot of them can be harboring the infection with seemingly no outward signs of it because portions of their immune system are just either not acknowledging it or have been shut off. But, you know, that's they feel crappy. They don't,
right.
They don't feel like
honestly,
they used to.
If we'll call it COVID blood for fun, anybody who's got COVID blood, and that's supposed to be virtually everyone who's been injected, cannot be feeling good. You can't. It's not possible. No,
that blood is you know, it's not healthy. We have so much confirmation of that at this point.
It's gelled. It's not a nice red liquid. It's gelled. Not firm like Jell-O, but it's gelled.
It's not. No, it doesn't
thick.
Have the right viscosity. It's full of a lot of protein. These acute phase reactants, which are proteins that are released primarily by the liver in the case of an infection, they're clogging the blood.
No one is addressing this. No one has come up with a real protocol to, let's just call it, thin the blood back out that I've heard of. And no one's mentioning the fact that black blood or dark blue blood is not indicative of oxygenated blood, which is bright red. So I don't know how anybody could feel remotely passable. And then you've got the shopping cart full of things you've already mentioned. So I think long COVID should not be thought of reflexively as just an attenuated dose and dealing with of the virus, whatever variant you may have. I think there's more to it than that.
Well, we had long COVID before the vax. There were people that acquired the infection that you really had a hard time with it.
That's right.
So we have to acknowledge that. But I just think this injection has made things infinitely worse.
Well, it's fatal. So that's pretty worse. I agree.
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, here's kind of a fun thing. For those of you who are X-Files fans or have seen it and understand what Chris Carter, the primary producer and writer of many of the episodes, had to work with, won't be surprised by this. And for those of you who haven't seen the X-Files, I would urge you to get it and watch. It's quite prescient, and it is certainly a perfect fit for the term predictive programming. This is 30 years ago, started in 1994, and there are many episodes that have very portentous plot lines in them that are perfectly relevant to today and what we've been through for the last 3 years. Remarkable. And one of the episodes, and I explained this, I found it, I saw it again, I had forgotten about it, talked very much about this blood issue, the thickening of the blood. Now, what are the chances of that happening randomly? About zero. And the story is that Chris Carter was given a number of things by the deep state, it was called the deep state, to put in the storylines, in the plot lines, to prepare people subliminally, subconsciously, for what's coming. And with such a remarkable hit program, which is watched all the time, It's all there. I've seen at least in the first 2 years, 4 or 5 episodes with predictive programming, plot line, plot devices, twists in it that are very much reflective of what we're dealing with today. And this is, it's not certainly limited to the X-Files, but that was a big one. And have you ever seen any programming, older programming, that tells you what's coming? You all know what I'm talking about. Think back. Most of you have. If you haven't noticed it, it's usually there. They do tell us in advance. So here, let me play. I'm going to play 2 little clips from episode 7 of the second season. All right. And this is the one where Mulder went up to the North Sea, the Beaufort Sea, and somehow made his way to a submarine that had been left stranded in the ice and found the whole crew dead, etc. But the one crew member he found that was alive was someone who was not from this planet. All right, it was an alien bounty hunter. You all, if you've seen the program, know the guy. Anyway, he threw Mulder around and he dragged him up the top of the conning tower and threw him over the side of the conning tower into the snow and the ice down below, and then got back in the submarine by himself and lowered it in the water and took off to go back to his ship, which was not far away underwater, floating there. So Mulder's laying on the ice. And the next scene, he's in a hospital. He had been saved miraculously by the Navy. They sent out a search team. And he was helicoptered to a major base, and he was in critical care. It's very interesting. So here's the first mention of thick blood by Scully. And this is very interesting when you think about what we're dealing with now. Here we go.
The man suspected in their disappearances is still at large and has now been charged with the death of FBI Special Agent Barrett Weiss, whose body has been quarantined at the U.S. Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases.
Here it is.
Weiss's cause of death involved a thickening of the blood. It is now believed that he was subjected to a virulent strain of virus whose origin and behavior are also unexplainable. It is my hope that further analysis of this contagion will aid in the solution of this case.
Contagion?
This is a retrovirus?
Yes, but none of us here have ever seen anything like it.
Now, they're looking at a screen magnified of the retrovirus that she thinks caused the thickening of the blood. And they're kind of a strand, and at the end of the strand is a round ball shape with spikes on it, as in spike protein shape. It's right there.
Recognize it?
Was the thickening of Agent Weiss's blood an immunological response to the virus?
Apparently. When the body's exposed to it, it triggers a massive production of red blood cells. Now, take a look at this. We took a second culture, and we're able to control its growth.
What did you do to it?
All we did was lower the temperature by 5 degrees Fahrenheit.
So the virus is inhibited by cold?
Knocked out by it. For some reason, this retrovirus goes dormant at cold temperatures.
We pulled a body from the river yesterday that was chilled near freezing. When it started to thaw, it began to corrode.
Corrode?
If you find out anything else, you let me know as soon as possible.
Okay, that's the first little clip. So, retrovirus, overproduction of red cells, but the idea of thickening of the blood, and this is new to them in this episode, she'd never seen it before, is what Mulder is dealing with in the emergency ward at this military base hospital. Now, I'm going to advance this. It's going to take me a little bit to jump up to where she walks into that, we'll call it an ICU unit in this military hospital. And Mulder is in there, and he's just been put in a tank, a body-sized tank, of warm water. Any comments so far, Chief?
No, I'm listening.
All right. So she's going to walk in the room and find him in this tank and start yelling at the doctor because he's got the retrovirus. She knows that. And the secret is to lower the body temperature. And we'll wait and see what happens while she's there. There she is.
I'm Dana Scully. I'm Agent Mulder's partner. What are his vitals?
He's suffering from extreme hypothermia.
No. You've got to get him out of the tub.
He's dying. He's lost all his body.
You've got to listen to me. If you keep him in there, you're going to kill him. The cold is the only thing that's keeping him alive. His heart stopped.
If you want him, I've got the methadone on the cannula.
You don't know what you're dealing with here. Agent Mulder has been exposed to a retrovirus resulting in hyperviscosity syndrome.
I want you out of my ER right now.
Nurse!
Yes, ma'am.
His blood has thickened.
Ma'am.
That's why his heart is failing.
His heart is failing because he's lost all his body heat.
No, the only thing saving him right now is the hypometabolic state induced by the cold. Now, if you don't do what I'm saying, you are going to kill him.
Okay. Hyperviscosity? There it is again. And while she's standing there, you heard the nurse say, his heart has stopped. His heart could not pump the blood. Too thick? Shut it down.
As you
sound
said,
familiar?
Very prescient.
It's kind of exactly where we are. These
remarkably
people,
similar.
I don't think there's any accident in it, frankly. There are too many other instances of things that were written into the script. And again, people have told me, people who say they know Chris Carter and that he wasn't boasting or bragging, but he made it quite clear that there was some material that came from outside his writing skill parameters. He was given things. So there you go. Just for fun, to give you an idea that these programs are not always just entertainment. There are other things going on. What'd you think? Did that sync up with what we're talking about lately?
Yeah, remarkably similar, right?
The pictures of the retrovirus, it's a little stem, and then at the end of the stem, right in the center of the screen, there are four of them that have a round ball on the end of that little stem with spikes.
What do you know?
It's right there. I find the possibility of coincidence to be very low. Okay, next up. Long time ago, we played a couple times on the program because it was so interesting. And talk about predictive programming. This is not fiction. It's not entertainment. It's someone speaking. When was this recorded, do you recall, originally? I don't have the original date. Looks like 2014.
2014, yeah.
Okay, that is correct. All right, this is Anthony Patch. Who is Anthony Patch?
Anthony Patch has his own website. I think he does a lot with what was in interpretations of prophecy, right?
He does do a lot of history, so to speak. Yeah.
Prophecy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we came across this video some time ago, year, 2 years ago, and having been made 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, it too was rather prescient as to what we are living through right now.
Frighteningly so.
Right.
I mean, it's as if he had been advised, he knew, and very interesting video. So we're going to play that next. And for you X-Files fans, again, that was Season 2, Episode 7. And there are other episodes prior to that that have other predictive programming components in them. This was something that went through the whole series. Very interesting. All right, here's Anthony Patch from 9 years ago talking about, I'll let you listen. Here we go.
Well, we've all heard of the bird flu, and we've heard of tuberculosis, and we've heard of flesh-eating diseases, and there's a number of things that have been going around in the media the last few years, including AIDS, which is still there, and now we have strange as it sounds, we have a rise to almost an epidemic level now of rabies, which we typically associate with animals. But when it crosses to the human barrier, to the barrier between animal and human, crosses that barrier into the human, there is no treatment. There is no cure for rabies. Now, you may not have heard this. This is not necessarily new, but it's coming to the forefront.
You know what this makes me think of?
What's that?
The zombie apocalypse.
Absolutely. And that is the context in which the mainstream media right now is placing it, is in the zombie apocalypse. Because that's exactly how people present themselves, if you will. I'm speaking medically, but that's how they appear and how they behave is like a zombie because of the effects of rabies on the nervous system. There were, last year and even earlier this year, there were actually drills conducted by our government on the zombie apocalypse and how would, first responders, police officers, firefighters, paramedics, how would they deal with these people? So it sounds far-fetched to the average person who hasn't heard this before, but this is nothing new. But let's go beyond the rabies. Let's talk about people getting a flu shot or getting a, avian flu inoculation.
Getting a vaccine. Okay, that's what he's saying.
There's another very insidious disease, if you will, which is really a man-made disease. It's a biological construct called MERS coronavirus out of the Middle East. It's the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. It's made its way into Europe to a certain extent, and eventually because of, air travel, it will reach around the world.
Now he's talking about SARS-CoV-1.
I think he said MERS.
MERS. Didn't they roll that over into a SARS basket, though, later?
Yes, yes. That was the second one.
Okay. Here we go.
It's another example of where inoculations or vaccines are being derived, or they're trying to derive for. Again, I always like to go all the way to the end. What's the purpose? What's the goal? If you have a man-made or engineered virus, why was it created? Is it simply just to kill people? Well, that's one part of it. But if you go further and you go deeper than that, it is to get people to demand a vaccine, a shot, if you will, or a pill. Why would, if you're in a position of control and of power, of ultimate power, why would you want people to demand a vaccine? Well, it's because something's in the vaccine that you want people to then have as a part of their body. Well, what is in the vaccine that you want everybody to have inside their body? It is a DNA manipulator or modifier. I mentioned earlier third strand DNA. There is already, and you can find this on the internet, in existence, a third strand of DNA constructed of silicon. Again, we go back to the silicon chip in computers. The third strand is made of silicon and is also coated in gold. If you talk about nanotechnology and nano layers, this is extremely thin coating of gold down to a billionth of a millimeter of gold that is coating the silicon from which you are building a third strand of DNA. The purpose of the gold is to increase the surface area around this strand so that more information can be digitally imparted or programmed. You're essentially, what you're doing is you're creating a third strand of DNA you are transferring that or imparting it into a person's body through a vaccine that that person's demanding because they're afraid of contracting MERS coronavirus or avian flu or whatever it may be. And so the government, if you will, or the powers that be sit back and they kind of chuckle and they say, well, we couldn't have forced people to take this vaccine or to take this hidden third strand of DNA. They would rebel against it. But if we create the problem and present the solution, people will demand the solution. Thus, we achieve our ultimate goal of having this DNA in every person changed. Well, let's go deeper. What's the goal? What's the purpose? Yeah, you go around and change everybody's DNA. What do they become? They become a hybrid. The insidious part of this is that once a person is injected, almost immediately their DNA undergoes transformation. Almost immediately they lose all awareness of the fact that they've lost their independence, their ability to think on their own, to make decisions on their own, and to affect them on a moral level. Their moral independence, their beliefs, religious, moral, ethical, legal, all of those go away. If you remove the independent thought and that awareness that you've lost your independence is gone, what then do the powers that be do with these new forms of humans, hybrids?
Now, how many times have people mentioned that very thing, that people aren't aware of the changes that have happened to them? They can't be. They just aren't. This was 9 years before, remember, altogether 6-7 years before this thing started, 2.5-3 years ago. So he knew something. I don't know what, but he's waxing very eloquently about things that were years and years ahead.
They can control them. They can turn them into a surf class. Not S-U-R-F, not surfers, but S-E-R-F, a class of slaves to serve the elite, to serve the Ray Kurzweils of the world who want to achieve immortality, but they need to have labor to manufacture, develop all of the technologies. And they have enough technologies now. The technology, the scientific world, if you will, has reached the level where they don't care about hiding it anymore. Their agenda is so far advanced, both politically, philosophically, their sense of morals, and technologically, that no longer are they worried about you and me as the surf class and the coming surf class. They're not worried about what we think. They're not worried about us rebelling. And in fact, we won't rebel, partly because right now we've been so dumbed down through a variety of mechanisms. But once people demand the virus and they truly are dumbed down to where they've lost that awareness that something's happened to me, now they can do what they want with us. They are achieving what I call the hive mentality, like a beehive. Worker bees, soldier bees, serving the queen. The queen, in my estimation, is this elite class that's in power. And it's not the politicians. Forget the politicians. This has nothing to do with Republicans, Democrats, Tea Party, libertarians. It has nothing to do with political structure or classes. It has to do with the small group that is in control and has been in control since ancient times.
Okay, ancient times. He's right. It's been a long-term project, a couple thousand years at least. And those who are in control now, you know who they are, have completely re-engineered our culture, our society, the world as we knew it. It's changed. And the idea that people aren't aware of the simple fact that something's been done to them is fascinating, and we've talked about that before. And that their morals are gone. Well, the campaign has been, from the beginning, to demoralize people and the whole society, Western world especially. And they've done it. All you have to do is look at TikTok for 10 minutes and you'll see. That's a reflection of the moral stature of this current world culture. And it's crazy.
Yeah, crazy and disappointing.
So what'd you think? That's the third time we played this, I think.
Yeah, well, it's uncanny.
Oh,
incredible
knew.
Insight on his part. Incredible.
I don't think that was a guess or a logical synthesis of the data. I think he knows people.
Mm-hmm.
He knew where this was going. Vaccine, created demand, problem, reaction, solution. Same old. It always works.
Yep.
And now people have been morally disarmed to the extent that they cannot stand up and really mount any resistance. They can't do it. They don't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to blame them. It's not their fault. The educational system, so-called, is nothing less than a communist indoctrination camp now. Look what they're teaching children in elementary school on a personal sexual basis alone. These kids are being ruined. Look at any of them at any of the pride parades, at any drag show. These kids are being ruined. There's a war on children and a war on childhood that is utterly satanic. And I have no problem saying that. It makes me sick.
I know. It's true.
So, in short, what didn't he mention? I think he mentioned all the major points. He nailed it. And it sounds to me like he knew. There's a certain level somewhere of people who have access to the future as it has already been planned and is being deployed. I think he just was maybe speaking out of school a little bit, whatever. But that's a very interesting piece, 9 minutes long, 2014. So figure 6-7 years before this thing really was put into play.
Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Where are we going? What's the future? We've spent a lot of time talking about that. Things you need to ask yourself. Look at the bigger picture. Where are we going? More to the point, where are we being forced to go? They're not going to need FEMA camps for people. There's no pushback.
Right.
And as Rick Wiles says, he thinks about 50% of the American people now are thinking communist.
I have no problem believing that.
No, I don't see any independence out there. I see go along to get along in a best case scenario and utter regimentation of thought and action and deed on the other side. It's just not good. Not good. All right, let's move on. And I hope you'll take this program and share with other people. It's got a lot of very unique and interesting information. We always try to put it in there. We have now dengue fever is back. What do we know about that?
Well, that was news to me. I guess they've been having outbreaks around the world, as they often do, more so in tropical areas. I guess Peru is being very hard hit. 200 people have died. But now,
like,
apparently, there are multiple cases in Florida, Texas, and New York. And it's spread by mosquitoes, so fill in the blanks.
Well, let's hope it remains with mosquitoes as the primary vector or the only vector. Because if they're playing around with this and they can play around with anything, they could theoretically make it change so it would be transmissible person to person. It's not hard. New York has 23 cases, one person in Texas. A majority of the cases in Florida were contracted during trips to Cuba, according to one source. Outbreaks of dengue have erupted around the world with more than 100,000 people infected, and as Eric has said, 200 dead in Peru.
Now, they're using that as justification for a mass spraying program. Well, what are they spraying?
Who's the mosquito king?
Is that a trick question?
Billy Gates. He's dumping, what are they dumping? 10 million a week of GMO mosquitoes now?
Right.
No one
right.
talks about these things.
Oh, it's mentioned. I've seen, you know, he's almost bragging about it now.
Does he have any formal education?
I don't think he does.
No.
But you don't need that when you have money.
No, he graduated from the University of Money and Power.
Right.
Don't need anything else.
And eugenics.
So we've got, the CDC has provisionally confirmed a major U.S. outbreak of dengue. And this happened on Wednesday.
And don't forget, they've got, two vaccines ready to go for dengue?
What a coincidence.
One of them was the one they trialed in the Philippines that ended up killing a number of kids through antibody-dependent enhancement. This is one of those viruses where the antibodies that you generate to an infection may not protect you from the next infection. And there's five different strains that they've identified of dengue. So having one strain won't necessarily protect you from another strain. In fact, it might make that second infection worse.
So there are five now. Interesting.
Yes, five.
Meanwhile, speaking of Billy Goat Gates, caught telling the world leaders, it's time for death, D-E-A-T-H, death panels to be put into play to reduce global population. And there's one story and a video about that. We'll play that for a couple of minutes. Were you able to listen to this whole video?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Bill Gates has become so arrogant in recent times that he is happy for the cameras to catch him saying the quiet parts out loud.
You know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion. So you, of course,
well, that's an interesting thing you just said. Which is just the last 3 months in life for one person or something, because we haven't had a discussion of how to allocate that money, it means we lay off three teachers to do so. I mean, in other words, we haven't had this type of allocation.
Making that trade-off because of huge medical costs that are not examined to see which ones actually have no benefit whatsoever.
Well,
and because of pension generosity, we will be laying off over 100,000 teachers. Which, you know, I'm very much against that. And the whole AFT will agree with me on that.
Terrifying stuff, I'm sure you'll agree. Gates doesn't explain why we can't pay teachers and allow people to live out their lives in peace. Why is it either or? After all, in the past, we didn't have any problem paying teachers their salaries and allowing our elderly to enjoy their grandchildren during their golden years. This is the brutal, murderous world Bill Gates and his associates at the World Economic Forum are determined to roll out as part of their Great Reset. We can't allow their evil logic to become the new normal. If you are wondering what else they have up their sleeve, it's worth paying attention to what was happening at the G20 in Bali, Indonesia this week. The G20 is a summit featuring leaders of the most important economies in the world, and it's a mix of countries considered to be advanced or developing. Beyond the rooms where world political leaders sit around and thrash out various issues, there are dozens of side events where so-called dignitaries meet. As James Melville asked on Twitter, why were Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab in attendance at the G20? No one voted for them. The mainstream media is declaring anyone who asks this question to be a conspiracy theorist, but it's a totally legitimate question to ask. The world's richest man and the new emperor of Twitter, Elon Musk, was also in attendance there, just before he completely backtracked on his promises to turn Twitter into a free speech platform. Musk once declared himself a free speech absolutist. Now he is point blank refusing to reinstate Alex Jones' account and warning that freedom of speech does not mean freedom of reach.
And don't forget the first major appointment that Musk made was his new CEO, Linda Yaccarino, a globalist committee chair. So don't be fooled by Musk. Don't be fooled by any of them. They're not going to be in positions of power influence unless they're all screened and accepted, if not groomed from the beginning. All of them. Nothing is left to chance.
Musk appeared at the G20 alongside the more established figures of the globalist elite, including Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, who has already used the forum to instruct world leaders to begin restructuring the global economy in line with the WEF's techno-communist vision. For his part, Gates is using the forum to instruct world leaders that death panels will be necessary in the near future in order to end the lives of sick and unwell people due to very, very high medical costs. Of course, Gates's death panels have everything to do with the globalist elite's obsession with depopulation. Bill Gates' plans for death panels mirrors the language used by the World Economic Forum regarding euthanasia, and the Canadian government's devilish new solution to solve inflation, homelessness, skyrocketing crime, and food shortages: euthanasia for the poor. The Trudeau regime say they are now offering to pay to euthanize people who are too poor to continue living with dignity.
This is violence. This is medicalized violence. Why isn't this being covered? Why aren't we talking about it? Especially when it's poor people, especially when it's working class people who are structurally pushed into that. I think that's a question worth asking.
Well, sure. And there's this very difficult problem, which is what do you do when an economy based on finance starts to go south and average people, you know, can't kind of sustain themselves? Do you do guaranteed basic income or whatever? This seems like an obvious choice for ghouls, neoliberal ghouls, like we'll just get, you know, force poor people to kill themselves.
And how many times have we heard from Canada about their healthcare system, their social care system, talking down to us about so many things? And now it's come home to roost. Canada's policies are seen for what they are. And Canada has their own problems. We need to learn from this. We need to say, look, what's happening to our poor people, to our disabled people? The dementia population, Tucker, which we talked about the early part of the pandemic, is set to double in the next 20 years. It's going to triple in the next 30 years. What?
I think we can take those projections and radically move them forward, don't you?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yes.
If dementia is going to double in the next 20 years, how about the next 2 years?
Right.
I think we're looking at that. Prions, right? Microclotting all over the brain, all the time, nonstop, from the spike. And you can get the spike without getting the needle. Don't forget that.
Going to do? Are we going to put the resources into care for them? If we don't, I really only see two options: so-called robot care or straight up no chaser euthanasia.
Yeah. So why don't politicians just say out loud now? I mean, so many things we're seeing now we couldn't have imagined 10 years ago or 5 years ago even, and now they're commonplace.
That's right.
Killing yourself is not liberation. It's really sad. You shouldn't be forced to do it. Like, why does nobody say that?
Well, your show is an example of giving people a voice who have no voice. The people who are most dramatically impacted by this, the working class and the poor, don't have a voice. And so we need to decide. And it's so interesting to see the political realignment underway. Which party is going to be the voice of the working class, the working, and of the poor, to be on the side of people who say, I don't want to die. I don't want to die, but I don't see any option given what's been offered me. That's just diabolical.
It is diabolical is the word for it. And you've been writing about this for so long, and thank you for doing that. Professor, great to see you.
All right, here's the deal. what's happening to people? If you remember Nurse Anne describing the new circuit, you call 911, you have your loved one or friend or someone is transported to the ER. Many times they'll sit there waiting over 20 hours for treatment. Or if it's something really critical, they might be seen immediately, I guess, in a lot of hospitals. But they're put in to care. She says over and over again, they're not getting better. A lot of them are not able to go home. They're being put into long-term care facilities. This is a new big business. They're being warehoused until they die or until their health insurance runs out. This is really right before the conversation begins about euthanasia. If a panel decides that someone is just not going to get better, they may end up a year, year and a half in one of these warehouses. Let's just kill them and pay the family $100,000, whatever.
I think that's already going on to some extent. They are using ketamine quite liberally now on some of these patients. Now, ketamine is a tranquilizer.
Psychotropic, very heavy duty.
It's a dissociative anesthetic. So it numbs you to your situation, essentially.
There was an X-Files episode all about ketamine as well, 30 years ago.
What do you know?
I thought I mentioned that. There's a whole episode themed around ketamine. There it is.
So it is being used, as I said, rather liberally on these vax-injured people.
Now, I think in the last program or the other one, somebody in your neighborhood had a problem, and it was apparently something like a MRSA spinal infection. Whatever. We don't know for sure. But that person was brought home when he could have been warehoused, but he wasn't brought home in a wheelchair. He was carried into the house flat out on a stretcher. There are a lot of people like that. Where do they go? They go to these warehouses. A family to take in someone like that, a loved one, and to try to take care of them around the clock? Well, you made the point. You need three nurses at eight-hour shifts to do that.
Yeah, realistically. It remains to be seen how tenable this situation is. It's, people start off with great intentions. They want to make it work, but, I mean, it's a full-time job.
Well, this person cannot obviously walk, can't ambulate, is going to be in bed. I don't know. And this is happening all over the country. The injuries people suffer from these biological weapon injections are horrible, and they're becoming more and more pronounced and diverse.
Yep. Well, and again, I mean, they're, I guess, partially designed to kill, but then by the same token, they can do perhaps more damage through the ripple effect by being an incapacitating agent.
Oh, it drags the whole culture down.
Right.
You bet. And when Anthony Patch talked about, and this is 2014, how the global elite are looking for a small surf class, there's the profile. 90% of the population removed, 10% left. You have a labor force in there, and you also will leave some intelligentsia to interface with a superior AI. AI is going to walk away from a lot of science and carve out new issues, new realms of knowledge, and this is just beginning, just beginning. All right, so where are we? We've got to wrap this up here in the next minute. We're at 2023. We're a year and a half from the Deagle projections. We're seeing evidence through Nurse Anne and other sources that people are getting sicker. They're getting worse. Something is percolating, and there appears to be a cascade beginning to roll. What do you think?
I agree. I can hear it in the calls. There are more calls for younger people. There seem to be more mental health issues. You can see the collapse. And if they do spring something like a bird flu on us, or I don't know, dengue fever, but depending on where you are, I think you'll see waves of people succumbing.
Right. I don't know any other way to look at it. That's just the facts and data as we see them, and it's just undeniable what's going on.
It is.
And
it's
not pleasant. Go ahead.
Still waiting to see what's going to happen with this new booster that's coming out in 6 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that there's still people taking these things.
Yeah. I wonder how they're going to try to market and merchandise the new booster.
They're going to have to ramp up the fear that there's some, new variant coming or bird flu, so you better get your COVID vax so you don't get the bird flu or something like that. They can say whatever they want. If it's on mainstream media, people will believe it.
Without any questioning. There's more submission than I honestly ever thought I would see projected by the American patriot community. And I include almost all Americans in the patriot community. They care about that, love their country, constitutional republic. But now, and I agree with Rick, probably half the people out there are communist in their thinking.
Yes.
They're left liberals. They're millennials or Gen Z, end of the line. Thinking is not approved and encouraged in many ways with them. Reacting is.
Yeah.
React properly and everything will be fine.
Right.
React. It's really remarkable.
You can definitely
okay.
see that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Great job.
Okay.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Take a little break. Think about some of that. Do pass this program around. They're all very important. And those of you out there who care and who get it are in the minority. So you're very valuable. Back in a few.